This week's Parsha is Parsha's Vayeshev, and we'll start our Shir on chapter 38, verse number 1. Right up to this point, we have the story of the sale of Yosef, where Yehuda was the one that told the brothers, what are we going to gain if we are going to kill him and cover up his blood? Let's sell him to the Ishmaelites, but our hand should not be on him. The brothers agreed to sell him. Yosef was sold. And then the brothers covered up the crime by bringing his ksoines pasim, his multicolored coat, and dipping it in blood. Yaakov thinks that a wild animal attacked Yosef, and Yosef died. They try to console Yaakov, but Yaakov cannot be consoled. And right afterwards, we have what starts in our parsha, where is the verse number 1. Vahi bo'es ahi, it was in that time. Vayirid Yehuda meis Echav, Yehuda went down from his brothers. Vayet at ish Adulami, and he turned in towards a man from Adulami. Ushmoi Chira, and the name of the man was Chira. Rashi explains that the word Vayirid Yehuda doesn't mean that Yehuda went down. It means that they put Yehuda down, meaning that Yehuda went down from his greatness, that until now he was the leader of the brothers, but now he wasn't the leader anymore, because after the brothers saw the pain of their father for the loss of Yosef, the brothers blamed Yehuda for not telling them, instead of selling Yosef, to bring Yosef back to his father. Meaning, since Yehuda had so much influence over the brothers, then they blamed Yehuda that he is the cause of the father's pain. And therefore, they put Yehuda down from his greatness. Then Yehuda decided to move out and go meet this person, Adulami, and the name was Chira. The Rachaim HaKodesh brings the Eben Ezra, where the Eben Ezra says that there is no problem with the language Vayered Yehuda, that Yehuda went down when Yehuda is going to Adulam, because since Hebron is to the north of Adulam, then every time you go from north to south, you say that a person is going down, because that's the way you call when a person is going south. And as a matter of fact, Rav Meyuchas brings down that since Hebron was on top of a mountain and Adulam is in the bottom of a mountain, then automatically when you go from Hebron to Adulam, you go down. And that would be the simple interpretation. But nonetheless, the Rachaim HaKodesh says that since it's written Vayered Yehuda Me'eis Echav, from his brothers, which you didn't have to write down from his brothers, because automatically if you go to a place and the brothers aren't there, then automatically you leave your brothers. Therefore, the Rachaim HaKodesh says that this is how Rashi figured out that the brothers are actually the ones who put him down, that they are the ones who demoted him. Because of that, it's written Vayered Yehuda. But not necessarily from the language Vayered Yehuda, but because it's written afterwards Meis Echav, from his brothers, and therefore the rabbis came out to this idea that they demoted Yehuda. As a matter of fact, the Gemara in Soita Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis 13b says that Omar Rab Chama Bar Chanina, Rab Chama Chana says, Koloi Sedava Voloi Gomroi, anybody who does something and he doesn't finish, and somebody else finishes what he started, the Torah considers the person who finished as he would have done the whole thing. Rabbi Lozer says that if you start something and you don't finish, we demote you from your high position. Shenemar uses our pasuk as a proof, because it's written Vayehi Bo'esahi, it was at that time Vayered Yehuda Meis Echav, Yehuda went down from his brothers. And Rashi says that Shehu Ischid Batzolas Yosef Keshomer Mabetza Veloy Gomer, that he's the one who started by saving Yosef, but since he didn't finish by saving him totally, therefore he was demoted from his position. The Medrash Rabbah here brings an additional thing regarding somebody who starts something and doesn't finish. There, the Medrash Rabbah says, Rabbi Yehuda bar Simon, Rabbi Chanan, b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, amru, that Rabbi Yehuda Bar Simon and Rabbi Chanan said the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that kol shi umaschil be mitzvah veina gamra, that anybody who starts making a mitzvah and doesn't finish, koiver as ishtoi vezbonov, ends up burying his wife and children. And we learn that from Yehuda, that Yehuda originally said mabetza, and in the end, his two children, Eli Noinan, died, and also his wife died. And according to the Medrash, the punishment to Yehuda came because he did not finish in what he started by saving Yosef. Sefer Rechoves HaNoor translates Vayered Yehuda, that Yehuda had a downturn, meaning that his level of spirituality went down, and he explains this based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph 72a. The Gemara there brings certain things that are beneficial for evil people and are detrimental to righteous people, and certain things that are beneficial to righteous people and are detrimental to evil people. The Gemara says, Shino ve'yayin l'reshoim, that sleep and wine for the evil people, ano Elohim, is beneficial to them, v'ano Elohim, and is beneficial to the world, because while they sleep and while they drunk, they cannot do bad things to the world. So therefore, it's beneficial to them that they do not transgress further and they do not ruin the world. But latzadikim, but the same thing, sleep and wine for the righteous people, ra'alohem, is bad for them, because then they cannot perform mitzvahs and they cannot learn. Ve'ra'aloilam, and therefore becomes bad for the world, because while the righteous person doesn't have these merits, the world suffers with that. Sheket l'reshoim, tranquility for the wicked. D'ra'alohem v'ra'aloilam, it's bad for them, because if they have tranquility, they have time to plot their evilness, and therefore becomes bad for the world, because the world will suffer from their plots. V'la tzadikim, but if there is tranquility for the righteous people, hano Elohem, that is beneficial to them, because then they have time to perform mitzvahs and learn Torah, automatically v'hano Eloilam, it's beneficial for the world. And now we are going to say what part Sefer Rechoves HaNoor wants to say, which pizur l'reshoim, dispersal for the wicked, hano Elohem v'hano Eloilam, it's good for them and it's good for the world, meaning when evil people are separated, where they can't plot together, then it's good for them and it's good for the world. But v'la tzadikim, but for the righteous people, where they are separated, then ra lohem v'ra lohem, it's detrimental to them and detrimental to the world. Sefer Rechoves HaNoor explains that the reason is that when tzadikim, when righteous people are together, then one influences the other, one protects the other from doing bad things, and one tends to learn from one another, and therefore they tend to grow in level and spirituality. But here, since Yehuda decided that he's going to go out to this person, Adulami, and leave his brothers, it caused pizur la tzadikim, it caused separation for tzadikim, which separation for tzadikim is bad for them and bad for the world. Therefore, he explains that Vayered Yehuda, Yehuda went down, meaning Yehuda left his brothers. Automatically, since he left his brothers, he got together with this person, Adulami, who was called Chira, and that caused them that eventually he married Abbas Ishkdani, a daughter of a Canaanite man, as it is written in the next pasuk. Meaning the only reason that he did this illegal thing is because he separated from his brothers. Vayered Yehuda, Yehuda went down automatically by separating from his brothers. He went down in spiritual level, because since now the brothers cannot rebuke him and the brothers cannot tell him what he's doing is wrong, and he is not embarrassed from his brothers, therefore it caused them to sin. And therefore the Torah, in order for you to know what caused them to sin, it's written Vayered Yehuda, that Yehuda went down from his brothers, meaning that he separated from his brothers. He caused to make pizur la tzadikim, separation for righteous people, which became detrimental to them and detrimental to the world. We'll continue with this verse and say something interesting that the Medrash Rabbah says, that it's written that he went to the Aish Adulami, to a person from Adulam, Ushmoi Chira, and the name of that person that he went to was Chira. The Medrash Rabbah brings Chira Hu Chiram Shayu B'mei David, that Chira is the same Chiram that was in the days of David. Shenemar, because in Malachim Aleph, chapter 5, verse number 15, there it says, Ki hoyev ayo Chiram le David kol hayamim, that Chiram loved David all his days. And there it says that Chiram sent to Shlomo HaMelech his servants in order to help him in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Medrash Rabbah says that Lamud Oyo Ishazeh, that Chiram was used to, Yoiz Oyev Leshevet Azeh, to love this tribe, meaning that he started already with the friendship with Yehuda, and he continued on all the way till the time of David and Shlomo HaMelech. And the Medrash continues and says, the Adate Rabbanon, that according to this opinion of the Rabbanon, Ayuchai Korov Le'elef Mosaim Shana, Chiram lived close to 1200 years, because he lived all the way from the time of Yehuda all the way to the time of Shlomo HaMelech, which is close. It is interesting because if I say, like the Medrash says, that Chira is Chiram written later on, the Yalkut Shimoni on Bereshis, chapter 5, Pasuk Chav Dalet, where the Yalkut Shimoni brings that Tisha Nechnesu B'chayeyem LeGan Eden, that 9 people went in alive to Gan Eden, Ve'eluhen, and these are the 9 people, Chanoch, that's listed in Bereshis, that Hashem took him, Moshiach, Eliyahu Anavi, which went up in a chariot of fire, Eliezer Evet Avram, Eliezer, the slave of Avram, like the Medrash explains, that since Yitzchak suspected him of having relations with Rivka, and he was proven wrong, therefore, as a reward, Eliezer Evet Avram received eternal life, the Evet Melech HaKushi, Evet, the king of Cushi, which is listed in Yirmiyahu, chapter 38, he's the one that brought Yirmiyahu up from the pit. As a reward, he received eternal life. V'chiram melech Tzor, Chiram, the king of Tzor, because he made the Mishkan, and could be that because he befriended the tribe of Yehuda for all these times, as a reward, he got eternal life. V'yavetz b'noi shor Rav Yehuda Anasi, Yavetz, the son of Rav Yehuda Nasi, the Serach Bas Asher, Serach, the daughter of Asher, since she received the blessing from Yaakov, Ubatya Bas Paroi, Batya, the daughter of Paroi, the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu, received also eternal life in Gan Eden. And the Medrash that continues, V'yesh Omrim, and some say, Hoitziu Chiram, that you remove Chiram, and you say that Chiram eventually died, could be like the Medrash says, after 1200 years, v'nechnas tachtov Rabbi Shua ben Levi, and instead of that you put Rabbi Shua ben Levi, which also had eternal life, because according to the Gemara, he outwitted the angel of death and made a promise once he got into Gan Eden that he is never going to go out, and since he never made a promise and cancelled it, Hashem allowed him to stay in Gan Eden. Going back to the verse says, Vayar Shom Yehuda Bas Ish Knani. Yehuda saw there a daughter of a Canaanite man, Ushmoi Shua, and the name of the person was Shua, Vayikochea, and he took her, Vayova Yeleo, and he had relations with her. The Radak asks a question, why isn't written the name of the woman he married, the same way that's written later on in verse number 6, where it's written there, Vayikach Yehuda Ishal Er Bechoiroi, Yehuda took a wife to heir his firstborn, Ushma Tamar, and the name of the woman was Tamar. Why isn't it written here the name of the woman that Yehuda married? The Radak does not answer this question, but the Alshech asks a question even deeper. He says that if you note here, it's not written the name of the woman, but it's written the name of her father. And yet, when you see the verse regarding Tamar, you'll see the opposite, that it is only written her name, and it's not written the name of the father. Before we give the answer of the Alshech, we'll have to present a different machlokes regarding what is written in this pasuk where the pasuk says that Yehudah married Abbas Ish Knani, the daughter of a Canaanite man. Devin Ezra in Perek Memvav Pasuk Yud writes down that Knani Pirushoi Kipshutoi, that when it's written that he married a Canaanite man, it means literally to say that he married a Canaanite man. And Devin Ezra goes on and explains that since he married a Canaanite woman, in direct contradiction of what his parents and grandparents had commanded, that they should never marry a Canaanite woman, therefore it ended up being that they were evil, and therefore they died. And the Ramban adds that according to Devin Ezra, when it's written, Vayar Shom Yehuda, Bas Ish Knani, the daughter of a Canaanite man, it means that Shara Oisa V'chashakba, that he saw her and desired her. In the same way that's written in Shoftim, chapter 14, verse number 1, Vayar Shom Isha, that Shimshon saw there a woman, and he saw her and desired it and wanted to marry her. So too, here, Yehuda saw this woman, the daughter of a Canaanite man, saw her and wanted to desire. And the Rambam brings proof to this idea that Yehuda married a Canaanite woman from what is written in Parshas Vayechi on chapter 50, verse number 13, where Yaakov Avinu there is being buried. The verse says, Vayisu Oisoi Bonov, that his children took him Arza Canaan to the land of Canaan. Rashi points out only his children carried him, meaning carried Yaakov, Veloy Bnei Vanov, but not his grandchildren, meaning that Yaakov did not allow his grandchildren to carry him. Shekach Tzivo, because so did Yaakov Avinu command, Alisa Mitosi, that I don't want that my beer should be taken, Loy Ish Mitzri, not by Egyptian man, Veloy Echot Bibnechem, not by any of your children, meaning that he told the tribes that only they could take him to be buried, but none of the tribe's children, Shehem Mibnois Knan, because they are children of Canaanites, Elo Atem, only you. And Rashi, according to the Gersa, according to the version that we have in our Chumash, writes down Shehem Mibnois Knan, that they are from the daughters of Knan, which means in the plural. That means clearly that there is more than one that is from the daughters of Knan. And yet, we only find one of them written in the Chumash. We have one written in Parshas Vayigash, chapter 46, verse number 10, where it's listing the people that came down to Egypt. There the Torah writes, Uvnei Shimon, the children of Shimon, Yemuel, Veyamin, Veoya, Veyachin, Vesoichar, Veshaul ben Haknanis, and Shaul, the son of the Canaanite woman. Then theoretically there is only one that is the son of a Canaanite woman. What does it mean in the plural? Therefore the Ramban says that in the plural it means that Shelah was also a son of a Canaanite woman, because Yehuda married this daughter of Shua, and then he had three children, Eir, Oinon, and Shelah. Eir, Oinon died. Shelah is the son of a Canaanite woman. Therefore, when Yaakov Avinu said, I don't want my grandchildren to bury me because they are the children of Canaanite women, Yaakov Avinu was referring to these two, Shelah and Shaul ben Haknanis, and because of these two, in order not to embarrass them, that they are going to be the only grandchildren excluded from carrying Yaakov, Yaakov Avinu said that he doesn't want any of his grandchildren to carry him. Like that, there won't be a question why this yes and this not. The Ramban disproves this proof completely, because the Ramban says that according to a different Gersa that he had, according to a different text that he has on Rashi, it does not say Shehem, that they are the daughters of Knan. It says that there is a daughter of Knan amongst them. That means that Yaakov Avinu could be referring only to Shaul ben Haknanis. And because Yaakov Avinu does not want to embarrass Shaul ben Haknanis, that he's going to be the only one of his grandchildren excluded from carrying his coffin, therefore Yaakovinu said that I don't want any of my grandchildren to carry me. And then Meforshim bring a proof for Divrei Hayomim base, chapter 3, Chronicles 2, chapter 3, where there clearly says, Bnei Yehuda, the sons of Yehuda, Eir ve'oinen ve'shela, Eir en oinen ve'shela, Shloisha noyduloi, these three were born to him, Mibas Shua Aknanis, from the daughter of Shua, the Canaanite. Here clearly refers to the daughter of Shua as a Canaanite, and he doesn't say Mibas Shua Haknani, that she's a daughter of Shua, the Canaanite, meaning he's saying the female term, that she herself was a Canaanite. Therefore, is a clear proof to what the Ibn Ezra says, that Yehuda actually married a Canaanite woman, going against what his father and grandfather had told him, not to marry a woman from Canaan. As a matter of fact, the Medrash Rabbe on this week's Parsha, on this Pasuk, brings the Pasuk in Malachi, chapter 2, verse number 11, where it says, Bogdo Yehuda, Yehuda committed treachery, betrayed, Vesoevo Nase beYisrael, uvi Yerushalayim, an abomination was done in Israel and Yerushalayim, Kichilol Yehuda Kodesh Hashem, because Yehuda had profaned the holiness of Hashem, Asher Hoyev, that he loves, Ubal Bas El Nechor, and he had relations with a daughter of a foreign god. Meaning that the Medrash Rabbe is associating what Yehuda did to that verse, which means that Yehuda himself did treachery, that he profaned and did not follow what his grandparents had told him, not to marry a Canaanite woman, and he married Bas El Nechor, a daughter of a foreign god, meaning he married a Canaanite woman. Before we give other opinions, we are going to continue just with the continuation with the verse. It says, Vayikocheyo, and he took her, Vayovayoleyo, and he had relations with her. The Radak explains that the word Vayikocheyo means that he married her, that he only had relations with her after he married her, but did not have casual relations with her outside of marriage. And therefore it says, Vayikocheyo, he took her, and then Vayovayoleyo. But Seichel Toiv writes down, Vayikocheyo, that he took her, how you take a woman, you take with words to convert her, meaning that he told her that praised are you, that you are going to cleave to the sons of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and you are going to come under Hashem, and then she listened to him and she converted. Then according to Medrash Seichel Toiv, Vayikocheyo, it means that he took her, he converted her, and then Vayavaleo, and then he had relations with her. This idea that she converted is not universally accepted. As a matter of fact, Sefer Rechov HaSanor says exactly the opposite. Sefer Rechov HaSanor wants to answer the question that we mentioned earlier, that the Alshach brings. Why, when Yehuda marries himself, it's written there that he marries Bas Ishknani Shmo Yeshua, the daughter of a Canaanite man named Shua, and it's not mentioned her name, and why when he married his children, it's written that he married to the woman called Tamar, and there it's not mentioned her father's name. Sefer Rechov HaSanor answers this based on the idea that we know that Gershon is Gayer, a person who converts, is considered as a newborn child. He loses all his previous relationships, meaning that biologically he's the son of a non-Jewish man, but halachically now this person becomes a newborn child. He has no connection to his genetical parents. Therefore, Sefer Rechov HaSanor explains that this is what happened here. Yehuda, when he married the daughter of a Canaanite man, she's described as the daughter of a Canaanite man because she had not converted. And since she did not convert, she's still considered the daughter of the Canaanite man. She has a relationship with her father. But when his children marry Tamar, Tamar converted. And since Tamar converted, she is not considered the daughter of anyone, because since she is considered like a newborn child, she has no relationship to anybody else. Therefore, all it says is that her name is Tamar. And Sefer Rehovas HaNoar continues and says that the reason why Yehuda would marry somebody who is not Jewish is because Yehuda realized that this person is a tzaddik. Shua was a righteous person regarding businesses. Because since it's written in the Medrash Rabbah, Yud, that says that tzaddikim, that whenever is a tzaddik, shmom koidem lohem, their name is before them, like it's written, Ushmoi Boaz, Veshem Oish Elimelech, Ushmoi Mordechai, that the name is Mordechai, then we see that the righteous people, Hashem said, their name is so and so, but evil people, Heim Koidem Lishmom, their name of the person himself comes before what's written that his name was, as it's written in Shmuel Aleph, chapter 25, Novel Shmoi. That Novel was his name, then we see that the person's actual name comes before the title was his name. So since we have this rule that whenever it's written and the name is so and so, that means that the person is righteous. Therefore, says Sefer Rehovas HaNoar, Yehuda realized that Shua was a righteous man, because the Torah writes down Ushmoi Shua, and because he was a righteous man, therefore Yehuda decided that he's going to take his daughter, even though he did not convert her. And Sefer Rehovas HaNoar continues and brings an interesting idea that the daughter of Shua converted only when she had her third child, meaning when she had Eir and Oinon, she was still a non-Jew, therefore they had an evil character, and therefore Hashem killed them. But when she had Shelah, she converted. And he brings an interesting proof from the language of the Pasuk. The Pasuk writes down that when she had the first child, it says, Vatar Vatelet Bein, she became pregnant, she had a child, Vayikra Shmoi Eir, and he called his name Eir. Vataroi, she became pregnant again, Vatelet Ben, and she gave birth to a child, Vatikra Shmoi Oinon, and she called them Oinon. Vatoisev Oiden, she added, she continued again, Vatelet Ben, and she gave birth to a child, Vatikra Eshmoi Sheila, and she called them Sheila. Vahoyo Bichziv, and he was in Ichziv, Belidoto Oiso, when she gave birth to him. All the Mefarshim are trying to explain, what does it mean, Vahoyo Bichziv, Belidoto Oiso, that she was in Ichziv when she gave birth to him? Rashi in his first interpretation writes down that Ichziv is the name of a place, and Rashi adds that it is called that name because at that place she stopped having birth, and the Be'er Basada explains that when she gave birth to Shelah, her womb was damaged and she knew she wasn't going to give birth, and therefore she called them Shelah from the language in Aramaic that's called Shiloi, which means finished, meaning by this child she was finished giving birth. And also Rashi says that Kziv means when you stop doing something. As for example, the verse in Yeshaya chapter 58 verse number 11 says, Lo yechazvu meimav, whose waters should not fail, which means the waters will not stop. And therefore, because she stopped having birth, they named the place Kziv. The Marik explains that the people held Yehuda in such high esteem that they named the place for the fact that Yehuda's wife could not have children anymore. The Daza Kenim Baal Tosfos brings an interesting interpretation. Daza Kenim Baal Tosfos notes that the custom in those days was that the first child is named by the father, the second child by the mother, and the third child is also named by the father. But yet, he says that since we see here that in the first child is written, she became pregnant, Vayikra Eshmoi Eir, that he called the child Eir, that means Yehuda called the child. The second child is written, Vatikra Eshmoi Oinon, that she called the child Oinon. Then theoretically the third child belongs to the father, but yet it's written the third child, Vatikra Eshmoi Sheila, that she called the child Sheila. The question is, why did she call the name of the child? Why didn't Yehuda call the name of the child? The answer is, V'haya b'chziv b'lidato isa. That Yehuda was an chziv when she gave birth to him. Therefore, he wasn't present at home. Therefore, she had to call the name of the child and not Yehuda, because Yehuda wasn't there. The Ramban brings this idea of the Dazakein Baal Toisvas in the name of Yesh Omrim, and he says, Ve'ein boze tam oireach, that there is no taste or smell on this interpretation, meaning this interpretation makes no sense. The Ramban brings the opinion of the Ben Ezra that tells you that in Chziv all three children were born, not only Sheila, and he says that it's written Belidata Oiso when she gives birth to him, it means Belidata Oiso when she gives birth to them. But the Ben Ezra doesn't explain why would the Torah write down where they were born. What's the difference where they were born? The Ramban writes down that the word Chziv means disappointment. It comes from the word which is written in Malachim chapter 2, verse number 4, where Elisha promises the Shunamis that she is going to have a child even though she is older, and she says, Al techazev b'shif chosecha, where there it's translated as do not disappoint your maiden. And also later on, when the child dies and she comes to Elisha to complain that the child is dead, she said to Elisha, which is written on the same chapter, verse 28, Halo yomarti, I told you, loitash leoisi, do not mislead me or do not disappoint me. So we see that Chziv and Sheila is the same thing, which means disappointment. Therefore, she called the child Sheila because she was in Chziv at that time. And Chziv means disappointment, therefore Sheila also means disappointment. But the Ramban doesn't really explain why would she call this child a disappointment. There is another anomaly in this pasuk, because the pasuk writes down Vatoisev oit vatelet bein, she again had a child. It doesn't say that she became pregnant, like it says when it gives the birth of the other children. Therefore, Sefer Shara Aharon explains that she did not become pregnant for this child because she was already pregnant together with Oinon, meaning that Oinon and Sheila were twins. And you're going to ask me, if they were twins, then why does Yehuda tell Tamar after Ere and Oinon died in verse number 11, Shvi almona beis avich, that you should stay as a widow in the house of your father, ad yigdal Sheila vni, until my son Sheila grows up? If you tell me that they are both the same age, then what does it mean until Sheila grows up? Sefer Sharan explains that clearly Sheila and Oinon were very young, and clearly Yehuda only wanted to do this in order to postpone the death of Sheila, because he thought that Tamar was a woman who kills her husbands, and therefore he never had intention to give Sheila. He was just using it as an excuse, and therefore his excuse was that Sheila is young. True that Oinon was also young, but now that Oinon died, Yehuda doesn't want to give Sheila to Tamar and uses the excuse that they are young. It is interesting that this Shari Aharon is exactly the same way that is written regarding Dina, because regarding Dina in Bereishis chapter 30, verse number 21, there is written Va'acha Yoldo Bas, and afterwards she had a daughter, Vatikra Shma Dina, and she called Dina. And Mefarshim are also bothered that there it's not written that she became pregnant. Therefore, there the Ebn Ezra writes down, Yesh Omrim, there are those who say, Kim Zvul Noisa Bebet and Achas, that she was the twin of Zvul, meaning that before the last one was born was Zvul, and right afterwards Dina was born. That means there wasn't a separate pregnancy for Dina, because she was a twin with Zvul. Sefer Rechoves HaNoar, though, gives a different answer why it's not written she became pregnant, and uses the same answer that is brought down regarding Zilpa when Zilpa gives birth, meaning that in chapter 30, verse number 10, there is written Vatelet Zilpa Shivchas Leah La Yaakov Bein, that Zilpa, the maiden of Leah, gave to Yaakov a son, and there it's not written that she became pregnant, neither the first time nor the second time. And the Medrash Rabbah asks this question, why isn't it written that she became pregnant? The Medrash Rabbah answers that since Zilpah was so young, people did not see or did not recognize when she became pregnant. Therefore, it's written, Vatelet Zilpah, that she gave birth because nobody realized that she had become pregnant. Sefer Rechov HaSanor says that it is obvious that we cannot answer the same answer here, because regarding the first two sons, it's written that she became pregnant. But Sefer Rechov HaSanor says that what happened there is when she became pregnant with Shelah, she was so small that she did not recognize that she was pregnant, and therefore it's written that she gave birth to Shelah, and she thought that Shelah is not going to survive. Therefore, she called Shelah as the same idea as Chziv, that she was disappointed with him. She called him Shelah because Va'oyo b'Chziv b'ledes oisam, because she was disappointed when she gave birth to him, because she thought that Shelah would not survive. And then Sefer Rechov HaSanor explains that what we could say is that when she gave birth to Shelah, she was actually disappointed, but she was disappointed on her gods, meaning that since she already converted when she gave birth to Shelah, and Chziv means disappointed, and she was disappointed with her parents, and she was disappointed with the idol worshippers. Therefore, she made sure to call her child Shelah to teach everybody that she's disappointed in her family's behavior, that her family was idol worshipper, and therefore they called the place Chziv, because at that place she converted, and at that place she became disappointed with the idols. So Sefer Rechov HaSanor explains again that during the first two children she did not convert, therefore they were evil and they died, but the third child she converted, and therefore Shelah is a righteous child, and therefore Shelah survives and gives Jewish naches to Yehuda. The Al-Shech HaKodesh answers our original question, why in regards to Yehuda it says that Yehuda married Bas Ishknani, a daughter of a Canaanite man, and it doesn't say her name, and in regards to Tamar it says her name. The Al-Shech HaKodesh answers this based on the Medrash Rabbah, on the verse that we are discussing that says, Vayi bo'es ahi, it was at that time, Vayered Yehuda me'es echav, and Yehuda went down from his brothers. The Medrash says, Shvatim ayu asukim b'mechirasu shel Yosef, the tribes are busy selling Yosef. Yosef ayu asuk b'tzakot anisoy, Yosef is busy in his sackcloth and fasting because they sold him and he's having such trouble. Reuven is also involved in his sackcloth and fasting because he moved his father's bed. And Yaakov was also busy with his sackcloth and fasting because he thought that Yosef was dead. And Yehuda is busy taking a wife. And Hashem is busy by creating the light of Mashiach, by creating the progenitors of the Moshiach. The Al-Shech HaKodesh explains that had Yehuda not act in a bad way by taking a woman that is not proper for him, then Yehuda would have been successful by taking the light of Moshiach with less trouble and with more strength, meaning that the light of Moshiach would have shined in a stronger way. But since Yehuda corrupted his way and married a woman that's not proper for him, therefore, his children got corrupted, and he could not bring out the light of Moshiach directly from his children, Eir and Oinon, but he could only take the light of Moshiach through the secret of the Yibum of the Levirate woman, which the souls of Eir and Oinon became transferred or transformed into Peretz and Zerach. And only after that, they are ready to bring out the light of Moshiach. But since it was through a Levirate way and not directly by his children, therefore it was a weakness in them, and therefore, according to tradition, David HaMelech wasn't supposed to be living any time unless Adam HaRishon gave him as a gift the 70 years, and therefore he was able to survive. And because he married a woman that is not proper to him, and Hashem wanted to bring out the Moshiach right away, therefore Hashem killed Er ve'Oinon while they were still young, while they were still 7 years, as the Gemara brings down that they were young when they got married and they were young when they died. And therefore, says the Alshach, the verse starts Vayehi Boisahi. It was at that time when we know that the word Vayehi Boisahi, it means a Loshen Tzar, a language of pain. And the pain was that Yehuda went down from the group of the Shvatim, of the righteous people, and he married a woman that is not proper. And because the woman is not proper, therefore it's not mentioned her name, because she is not a proper woman for Yehuda to marry. And that caused that Hashem now has to bring the light of Moshiach in an indirect way. And after Yehuda saw that he stumbled and got a woman that's not proper for himself, he decided that he's going to make sure that for his children he gets a woman that is proper. Therefore he got to his children Tamar, because she was a righteous woman. And therefore, because she's righteous, the Torah writes down the name of Tamar. And the Alshach explains that the reason it's not written Tamar's father's name is because you should not think that he got Tamar only because of the merit of her father, meaning that she doesn't have merits, but since Tamar is the daughter of Shem ben Noach, then he got Tamar because of the merit of Shem ben Noach. Therefore the Torah doesn't want you to think that Tamar doesn't have her merits on her own right, and therefore the Torah only writes down the name Tamar to teach you that she is worthy of her own name mentioned, not because it's associated to her father. To teach you that Tamar herself deserves to have her name in the Torah. So according to this, we understand now why by Yehuda's wife it's not mentioned her name, it's only mentioned the father's name, because she was not proper. And by Tamar, it's not mentioned the father's name to show that Yehuda took her because she was proper, and therefore her name merits a worthy mention in the Torah. Going back to the idea that we mentioned previously from the Evan Ezra, that Yehuda married a Canaanite woman, this is not the opinion agreed with the Ramban and agreed with other Mefarshim. And actually, the Gemara itself writes that this cannot be the opinion. The Gemara in Psachim Daf Nun Amud Aleph 50a writes down that it cannot mean Knani Mamash, that Yehuda married a daughter of Knan, because Efsher, is how is it possible, Avraham Avinu came and warned Yitzchak not to marry a Canaanite woman, and Yitzchak warned Yaakov not to marry a Canaanite woman, and Yehuda goes and marries a Canaanite woman. Elo Omar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Rav Shimon ben Lakish says, Bas Gavro Tagra, the interpretation of a daughter of a Canaanite man, it means a man who is a merchant, because we see that the word Knan is translated sometimes as a merchant. As we see in the verse in Hosea chapter 12, verse number 8, where he says, Knan b'yodoi mo'iznei mirma, a merchant has scales of deceit in his hand. Or the Gemara brings another proof, which is in Zechariah chapter 14, verse number 9. Asher Sachareu Sarim, whose traders were princes. Kenaneu, whose merchants, Nechbodei Oretz, are the elite of the land. So we see the word Knan means merchants. So clearly, most of the Mefarshim agree that Yehuda didn't actually marry a Canaanite woman, but he married a woman which is a daughter of a merchant. I wanted to answer that the connection between the sale of Yosef and Yehuda getting married to Bat Shua, to the daughter of Shua, is because of what the Medrash actually says, that we're busy creating the seed of Moshiach. We know that when Moshiach is going to come, then we are going to take our revenge on Esav, on Edom, and now we have a technical problem, because Rashi in Parshas Vayetze writes down that Yosef was the antithesis of Esav, because the verse writes down in chapter 30, verse number 25, that as soon as Rachel gave birth to Yosef, Yaakov says, let me go back to my land. Rashi points out what's the connection to going back to the land and fighting Esav to the birth of Yosef. Rashi brings the verse in Ovadia, which the verse in Ovadia explains that the house of Yaakov is going to be fire, the house of Yosef is going to be a flame, and Esav is going to be straw, and a flame goes out of Yaakov and burns out Esav. That means that Yosef is the antithesis of Esav, the protection against Esav. That is all well when Yosef is around. But right now, the tribes, the Shvatim, sold Yosef. They thought that Yosef is gone. Then they lost the antithesis to Esav. They have no way to destroy Esav in the future. Therefore, Yehuda goes specifically and marries Bat Shua, the daughter of Shua. The Divrei Yoel brings down that Shua, Shin, Vav, Ayin are the same letters as Esav. And Yehuda's intention was to marry the daughter of Esav, thereby controlling Esav. Yehuda miscalculated and quite opposite the daughter of Esav ended up influencing his first two sons, Er and Oinon. But that was Yehuda's intention when he married Bat Shua. And therefore, since now they sold Yosef and they lost the protection from Yosef against Esav, therefore Yehuda specifically went ahead and wanted to marry the daughter of Esav, thereby trying to be machnia, trying to control her, in order that in the future, the time of Moshiach, will be easier to control Esav. And Hashem Yisburach should help that in the same way that this week we're busy creating the light of Moshiach, that we should merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash should build, b'mhero b'yameinu, amen.